All right, Rabbi, say good morning. Good morning. Let us begin. Begin by thanking all of our sponsors for this morning's shiur. To thank our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Cheshvan, Steve and Terry Zinn, for dedicating Ovid Shomer Drashos this month in loving memory of Steve's father, Albert Zinn Bunim Tzvi Ben Chaim Zichron Livracha. To thank our Daf Yomi sponsors for today, Ayal and Sarah Steinberg, in the schus of continued health for Shulamis Chana Bas Susha and for an enduring refuah shalima. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the neshamas Avin Aliyah, the families in the Chama, all those who need a refuah, should have one together with Kol Cholei Yisrael. The Kadosh Baruch Hu Shalim Yeretz Hashem continue to shower bracha and besoros tovos upon all of Klal Yisrael this week and for many weeks to come. But with that, let us begin. We have a great daf ahead of us today. A lot to do today. A lot of information. Baruch Hashem. And in Meretz Hashem, the conclusion of the parak. In Meretz Hashem, b'shar tovu u'mitzlachas. So we'll say, so today's daf is daf Nun Zayin, 57. We are picking up in Meretz Hashem on Nun Vav Amud Beis, 56b at the Mishnah. So a really interesting sugya. Ha-Bukhar, v'ha-Maiser, v'ha-Pesach. So Bechar, Maiser and Pesach. So again, we're going to go through each of these karbanos. Bechar is the firstborn animal that is given to the Kohen. Maiser is Maiser Behema, right? Remember again, I have an obligation to tithe my flock. And Maiser Behema also, and Maiser Behema, so look at Rashi. So yeah, Maiser Behema. Pesach is Karban Pesach. All of these are examples of Kachim Kalim. All of these are examples, I will say, of what we call lower sanctity karbanos. So ultimately, again, you could check them anywhere in the Azara, anywhere in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. The Daman Ton Matana Achas. And the halacha is that they require one blood application. So both says, remember again, we saw this already by Kachim Kalim already earlier. We saw the same idea by Chatas Achitzon, that there's only an obligation of one blood application. Naturally, the Bechadah Sachitzon is an obligation of four, but if you only did one, you're Yotze. So you require only one blood application. Now, interestingly enough, Halacha L'maisa, although it is one blood application, Obilvad Sheyitin Kineged Hayisod. Now, both said, the Halacha is you only need one blood application, but you have to do it on a corner, that has a Yisod. I forgot, I didn't wear a basin with this picture on, but it's okay, we'll just do it on this for now. So remember again, as we've already established multiple times, so on the Beis HaMikdash, two out of the three sides, right, have a Yisod. So the western side, and ultimately again the northern side, have the Yisod, have the base, right? Remember again, just to get our terms again, so there is the Yisod, which is the base, which is on ground level, and then there is the Sovev, which is the ledge, which is elevated, that allows the Kohen access to the blood applications on the corner. So the halacha is like this. Kachim Kalim, lower sanctity karbanos, only require blood application, ultimately again, on one blood application. And you could do it, you have a choice on which corner you want, but it has to be a corner that has a... Oh, Sean, what's up? Thank you. It's okay. Fine. If you already brought it, I'll use it. All right. Incredible. Thank you. So remember again, now I have to get out the pointer. It triggers the whole zach for me. Okay, good. So remember... Yeah, sorry. Did you whistle at me? Was that,
what?
Did you just whistle at me? Was that a whistle?
A little bit.
Okay. Save that for the puppy.
All right. So again.
So remember again. So the halacha is like this. So remember, just to get our idea. So Kachim Kalim, the halacha is you could check it anywhere in the Azara, right? Anywhere over here, you could go ahead and good. Talmud Torah Matana Achas, one blood application, as long as it is opposite an area with the Yisod, which means this side, so west or north. Good. So the Gemara says, Shina Bachilasa. Now each of these karbanos, interestingly enough, as much as all of them are called Kachim Kalim, remember again, all of them have different consumption windows. As we know, the most obvious of that is Karban Pesach. Also, remember again, we spoke about yesterday, this idea of a shlamim, that normally, for example, the window of consumption for shlamim is how long? What's your window for consumption for shlamim? 2 days, one night. Well done. 2 days, one night. Now, just to give an example of a shlamim that only has 1 day and one night, is Karban Pesach. Right, Karban Pesach is in the Shlamim family. You only get one day, one night. The truth is, we're going to talk about Karban Pesach and Miras Hashem on Amud Beis today. Very exciting way to end off the parak. So Shina Bakalasim. So as much as all of these karbanos are called Kadshim Kalim, they do have different durations of consumption. For example, Sigmar goes on, Bechor Ne'achal Kohanim, Famaisa Bechol Adam. Now even in these Kadshim Kalim, these karbanos are consumed by different people. So for example, the Bechor is given to the Kohen and consumed by the Kohen. Meister Behema, ultimately again, can be consumed by anyone. And ultimately, again, all of Kachim Kalim, in general, Kachim Kalim can be consumed anywhere in Yerushalayim. Very important. Bechol ma'achol, and you can prepare it any way you want. You prepare it any way you want. In other words, there's no restriction on how you eat it. We'll see exceptions in just a moment. And in general, the window of consumption for Kachim Kalim is 2 days and one night. So for example, if I shecht it on a Monday, I could eat it Monday night and Tuesday up until sunset on Tuesday. Now of course the exception to this is HaPesach, Eino Ne'achal Ela Balayla. So of course it's Karban Pesach. And I both say Karban Pesach is unique. Now what makes it unique is that Halacha L'maisa again, even though you shecht Karban Pesach by day, remember, bless you, can't eat it until that night. That's very unique. You don't find that, by the way, with any other karban, right? You don't find that. You shecht it by day and can't eat it until that night. That's Karban Pesach. Furthermore, Karban Pesach could only be consumed until midnight. So a number of peculiarities when it comes to Karban Pesach. Number one, even though you're shechting it by day, you can't eat it until that night. Number two, you can only eat it until midnight. Furthermore, it can only be consumed to the people who are part of the Chabura, or as a little Karban Pesach review, right? Halacha l'maisa, in order to participate in Karban Pesach, you have to be part of a Chabura, you have to be part of a group that's an already established group, again, prior to the time of Shechita. And furthermore, you can only eat it if it's roasted. So again, even though Karban Pesach is part of the Kachim Kalim, even though it's part of the Kachim Kalim family, you do have all of these different restrictions ultimately on the karban. Incredible, Rabbi Osei. So that's our Mishnah by Kachim Kalim. Beautiful. So Rabbi Osei, so just a quick review. All of these karbanos in the category of Kachim Kalim, what's the halacha? You could check them anywhere on the Azara. They require one blood application. And the only din in that blood application ultimately is that it's on the side of the Mizbeach that has a Yisod, that has a base. Then after that, even though they're all Kachim Kalim, they have different halachas. Good. Says the Gemara, Mantana, who is the opinion? Who is the author of our Mishnah? Now, what is the Gemara exactly asking? If you look at Rashi, second to it's the last two wide lines in Rashi. Mantana, Meiser uPesach Bizrika. Excuse me. Meiser uPesach Bizrika. So we'll say, if you notice, what's interesting over here is the Mishnah equates Bechor, Meiser, and Pesach. Right? So Bechor is the giving over of the firstborn animal to the Kohen. Meiser Behema is tithing of your animals, tenth animal, and Karban Pesach. So the Gemara is equating, the Mishnah is equating all three of these Karbanos. The Gemara asks, who is the Tana who says that Meiser Behema and Karban Pesach is like Bechor, is likened to Bechor? Who is that opinion? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, Rabbi Yosei Galili. It's Rabbi Yosei Galili. What does Rabbi Yosei Galili say? Disanya, Rabbi Yosei Galili, Omer, Chelbo lo ne'emar, Ela chelbam. Damo lo ne'emar, Ela damam. Okay, so what are you talking about over here? The positive Gemara is talking about is, Ach b'char shar, O b'char kesef, O b'char eis, Lo sifde kodeshem, Es damam tizrok alam izbeach, Ves chelbam taktir ishei reach nichoach la'ashem. So it's Torah speaking about over here, Bechor Behema, and talking about, again, the Bechor of a shar, an ox, Bechor Kesev, a sheep, or Bechor Eiz, a goat. So it's interesting, in the Pasuk it says, their chelev, right, plural, their fats, plural, their blood, plural. So what is the plurality of the Pasuk teach? Mir Yosef Lili says, he made al Bechor, u'maiser, u'pesach, Shetu'unin matan damim ve'imur l'gav mizbeach. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili understands that the plurality of the Pasuk is coming to include not just Bechor, but it's coming to include these other items that are in the Kachim Kalim family, namely, Meiser Behema, Meiser Behema and Pesach, that they require blood applications and the burning of sacrificial parts on the Mizbeach. Incredible. The Gemara says, Keneged Hayisod Menalan. Fine. So now I understand the commonality between all three of these things. So Bechar, Meiser Behema, and Pesach are all learned out of the Pasuk of Bechar, to teach me that just as Bechar requires the blood application and sacrificial parts burnt on the Mizbeach, so too does Meiser Behema and Pesach. Good. Next detail. Remember, require one blood application. How do I know that it has to be on the side of the Mizbeach that has the Yesod, that has the base? Where do I know that? From Amram Belazar, Asya Zrika Zrika Me'ola. We learn out of Gzera Shava, ultimately again of Zrika Zrika from Ola. Fine. So the Gemara says, apparently, just like Ola only requires one blood application, but requires it on a side of the Mizbeach that has a ledge, so too, again, these other Karbanos also require one blood application, but require it on a side that has a ledge. Type of Nun Zayin 57a, Va'ola Gufa Minalan, but Ola itself, where do I know that Ola requires one blood application, and on this, well, one of the applications is the Pasuk. But how do I know that Aloch Lamaisa requires it on a side of the Mizbeach that has a ledge, that has a Yesod? Tichsiv, a Yesod Mizbach Ha'ola. So the Pasuk says, to the base of the Mizbeach of the Ola. Limeid al Ola Schova Shetuna Yesod. You see from here that Aloch Lamaisa, that with the Ola, ultimately, again, you require one blood application, and it requires it on a side that has a Yesod, a base. I says the Gemara, 1 second, but Ola doesn't require one blood application. Ola requires two. In fact, again, Ima lahalon shtei matanos shehin arba, afkan shtei matanos shehin arba. 1 second. If you're going to learn out the obligation for Yisod, right, that the blood application has to be on the side of the Mizbeach that has a ledge, then again, why not complete the limud to Ola? Ola requires Rabosai shtei matanos shein arba. What does that mean, shtei matanos shein arba? So remember again, a matana achas shishtayim, which then becomes shtei matanos shein arba, means you're sprinkling on a corner of the horn, corner of the keren, which then essentially spritzes on two sides of the horn. So it's one blood application that becomes two. So if you're learning this out from Ola, then why not say, just like Ola requires matana achos shehi shtayim, two that are four, so too these other kabbalas will also require two which are four. To which the Gemara says, afkan shtei matana shein arba, amar Abaye lama li b'michtav, saviv ba'ola, saviv b'chatos. Tuvero says, very nice. Abaye says, let's take a step back. Why does the Torah have to say saviv by Ola and saviv by Chatos? Right, Lashon of the Pasuk is V'nasan HaKohen min Adam al karnos mizbach hakitores hasamim lifnei Hashem asher ba'amoid ve'es dam hapar yishboch ayisod mizbach ha'ola asher pesach ha'amoid. So why do you have to say saviv? Why do you have to say, sorry, I read the wrong pasuk. Next pasuk. V'shachar has ben abaka lifnei Hashem ve'krivu b'nei Aaron ha'kohenim es Adam v'zarko es Adam ha'mizbach saviv. So why does it have to say saviv by Ola, which means around? Now I will say, saviv generally means, in these two contexts, ultimately, again, it's shtei matanos shein arba. It's two blood applications that are four. But it calls it saviv because effectively what ends up happening, you end up going ahead and getting it around the Mizbeach. So the Gemara says, why does it say saviv by Ola, saviv by Chatos? Havu shnei ksuvin habayin ke'echad. Ultimately, again, I will say, what does that show you? That is shtei ksuvin habayin ke'echad. This principle says that in general, if the Torah states something once, that is to teach you an overarching principle. If the Torah states something twice, it is to tell you that this is the exception and not the rule. So it says saviv by Ola, it says saviv by Chatos. What is that? So by, look at Rashi just a moment. Saviv by Chatos, b'miluim uba Ola misaviv, shaminan be dalid matanos, shesove bidama dalid ruchos b'mizbeach. So ultimately, again, I will say that this happens to be talking about the Saviv by Chatas Amiluim and by Ola. So again, it was Dalit Matron's four blood applications. And ultimately, again, anytime the Torah states something twice, Halacha Lamayis says to teach you that these are the exceptions and not to create the overarching rule. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, In Malandin, the Afagav Dehacha, Lav Binyan Av, Anubain Lumod, Anubain Lumod, Ashminin Abaye, the Shnei Ksuvin Abayin Ke'echad, Ein malam, then I feel a big zera shava. So therefore, I will say ultimately again, both of these cases of ola and of ola and chatos essentially became shnei ksuvin habayin ke'echad. And therefore, even though I just want to point out what's happening over here, even though I'm going ahead and learning out zrika from ola, so I'm learning out the obligation that the blood application by these other karbanos, namely again bechor, meiser, pesach, has to be keneged hayisod. Has to go ahead and be on a side of the Mizbeach that has a ledge, that has a base. Ultimately, I'm not learning the number of blood applications. Why? Because when it comes to the number of blood applications, these are Shnei Ksuvin HaBayin Ke'echad. The Torah states these blood applications twice, which means that they cannot serve as a rule. So Hanichal Aman Dar Eimalamdin. That's fine according to the opinion that says that Shnei Ksuvin HaBayin Ke'echad, you cannot go ahead and learn out from it. But I will say, that statement itself is a contested concept. Not everybody agrees to it. So what do you say? The Gemara says, Asham, havi asham shlosha, u'shlosha bad e'im alamnin. Because the truth is, Rabbi Osei, the Torah actually states the principle three times. Once by Ola, once by Chatas, and once by Asham. So apparently, even if you hold Shnei Ksuvin HaBayin Ke'echad Malamdin, even if you hold that way, everyone agrees, Shlosha Ksuvin HaBayin Ke'echad in Malamdin. And therefore, again, they have a concept stated three times, therefore it does not serve as a paradigm for anything else. Good. They will say, what's our takeaway? What's our takeaway? So our takeaway, we remember again, we're dealing with Kachim Kalim, specifically three karbanos, Bechor, firstborn animal given to the Kohen, Meiser Behema, the tenth animal, and ultimately Karban Pesach. Kam denominator, all of these are Kachim Kalim. So the first nugget of information that we have established is that Alocha L'Maisa, they require one blood application. Remember again, where is the blood application being done? On the exterior Mizbeach, what we call the Mizbeach HaOla. Mizbeach HaOla Shechita is anywhere in the Azara. And ultimately, what we've established is the one blood application, you have a choice where you want to do it. It just has to be on a side of the Mizbeach that has a Yisod, right? So which is going to be, again, either our western or our northern side. Beautiful. That's our first nugget of information. Next, HaBechar Necha LaKohanim. And I will say, in general, when you have a firstborn animal, what do I do with that firstborn animal? I give that to the Kohen. That's one of the Matnos Kuna, one of the Kohanic gifts. So says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanon, Minayin Lebechar, Shenechal, L'Shnei Yamim, V'Layla. So first let's go back for just a second, because remember, we also established in the Mishnah that the normal duration for consumption of Kachim Kalim is 2 days and one night. 2 days and one night. So just in general, the Gemara says, how do you know that? Right? From where do we know that a Bechar is consumed for 2 days and one night? To which the Gemara says, Shenemar u'bsaram yelecha, kichazei hatnufa, u'kishok hayamim. Because the pasuk says that his meat will be for you, literally again, like the chest and the thigh. Hikishu akosov lechazei v'shok. Shoshlamim. The Torah compares Bechar, ultimately again, to the chest and thigh of a Shlamim. Just like Shlamim, as we established yesterday, is consumed for 2 days and one night. So very simple. It's a comparison between Bechar and Shlamim. Shlamim is consumed for 2 days and one night, and therefore Bechar will be consumed for 2 days and one night. So it's a great Gemara. And this question about the duration of the consumption of a Bechar, came up in Keren B'Yavneh. And I remember again, we spoke about it before, what's Keren B'Yavneh? So this is, Yavneh is one of the locations where the Sanhedrin, when the Sanhedrin was exiled from the Lishkas HaGazis. So remember again, Abbas says, you see Lishkas HaGazis is right here. This is the chamber where normally again the Sanhedrin would sit. When they were exiled to a variety of different places. One of them was in Yavneh. Yavneh was also, even before then, Yavneh was the site of a great yeshiva. And they would sit like in rows, arranged like a vineyard. Hence the name Kerem, the vineyard in Yavneh. So this question came up in Yavneh, in the yeshiva in Yavneh. Rashi says over here, Tamdi Chacham Yoshin Shuros Ke Kerem, Kach Meferesh Rachas Yerushalmi. So what happened? So one time they were sitting in the yeshiva in Yavneh, and they asked, Bechar Lekama Ne'echal. Ultimately, the Shaila came up in the Beis Medrash. What is the duration of consumption for a Bechar? How long can you eat the Bechar for? So listen to this. Nana Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Tarfon got up and he said, Va'amar, l'shnei yamin v'layla echad, 2 days and one night. That's the duration for a bachar behema. So the Gemara says, Hayishan Tam Dechav, listen to this great story. Hayishan Tam Dechav, Shebal Beis HaMedrash. That day there was a new student in the Beis HaMedrash. And what was his name? So the Gemara says, Shebal Beis HaMedrash Levi Chachamim, Tchila. What was his name? Rabbi Yossi Aglili Shmo. His name is Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So this Shaila comes up in the Beis HaMedrash. What is the duration of consumption for Bechar Behema? And what happened? That happened to have been Rabbi Yossi Haglili's first day in the Beis Medrash. So Amar Lo, Rabbi Minayin Lecha, Rabbi Yossi Haglili says to Rabbi Tarfon, so Rabbi Yossi Haglili is the new student, Rabbi Tarfon is the seasoned sage, so he says to Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi, where do you know that from? Right? Where do you know that halacha l'maisa, you could eat Bechar Behema for 2 days in one night. Amar Lo, B'ni, I'll tell you what. So listen to this. Rabbi Tarfon says, to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, my son, I will explain this to you. Shlamim kachim kalim, or Bechar kachim kalim. So Shlamim ultimately is kachim kalim, as we just saw. Bechar is kachim kalim. So my Shlamim ne'echad m'shayyam v'layla echad. Af Bechar ne'echad l'shayyam v'layla echad. So Rabbi Tarfon is very simple, very simple. Bechar is part of the category of Shlamim. Just like we know that Shlamim are consumed for 2 days and one night, so too Bechar is consumed for 2 days and one night. Pretty pashit and straightforward. Amar lo Rabbi, Rabbi Yossi really argues, and he says, Rabbi, 1 second, Bechar matar l'koin, v'chatas v'asha matar l'koin. I can say a little bit opposite. Bechar, right, Bechar behema, is one of the matnos kunim, one of the gifts you give to the kohen. And chatas and asham also is a gift to the kohen. Now, what does that mean? Chatas and asham ultimately, again, are given to the kohen. So I just want to point something out. Chatas and asham, there's part of it that is burnt on the mizbeach and there's part of it that's consumed. But the part that is consumed is not consumed by the owners. It is only consumed by the kohen. As opposed to shlamim, let's say a carbon shlamim. So shlamim, ultimately, part of it is consumed on the mizbeach. Part of it is given to the kohanim and part of it is given to the owners. So listen to this. So remember again, so we're trying to figure out what's the window of consumption for a Bechar. Rabbi Tarfon says very simply, Bechar is part of the Shlamim framework. Shlamim is consumed for 2 days and one night, and therefore Bechar is consumed for 2 days and one night. Rabbi Tarfon says, hold up. Shlamim is a gift ultimately again to the Kohanim. Sorry, Bechar. Bechar is a gift to the Kohanim. Chatas and Asham is also like a gift to the Kohanim, in that only Kohanim eat it, no one else does. So why don't you say the following? Machatas va'asham, we'll say first white line, then Zayin, with Aleph 57a. Machatas va'asham liyom v'layla, just like Chatas and Asham, we'll say, are only consumed for 1 day and one night. So if I shech the Chatas and Asham today on Monday, I eat it on Monday through Monday night, and then come dawn on Tuesday, I can't eat it anymore. Af Bechar liyom v'layla, so too Bechar should only be consumed for 1 day and one night. Solid. Right, so Rabbi Tarfon is saying, I understand the comparison. You're comparing it to the rest of Shlamim, but I would compare it to other matnos kuna, other Kohanic gifts. Amar lo, so to which Rabbi Tarfon responded, Nidon davar mitoch davar, v'nilmod davar mitoch davar. Let's learn out, essentially, let's go ahead and let's take Bechar, and let's go ahead and be done it. Let's adjudicate it. Let's extrapolate this information from something else, and learn out from something else. So the Gemara says, Mash Shlamim, Ein ba'in al chait, af bechar ein ba'al chait. So to which Rabbi Tarfon responds and he says, I don't understand. Your comparison between bechar, chatas, and asham doesn't make any sense. Why? Because chatas and asham come as a result of sin. Bechar has nothing to do with sin. Because it has nothing to do with sin, it makes more sense to compare it to shlamim than it does to compare it to chatas and asham. Okay, so therefore again, Mashlamim ne'echal l'shnei yomim v'layla echad, af bechar ne'echal l'shnei yomim v'layla echad. Therefore, I go back to my original comparison. I think it makes more sense to compare bechar to regular shlamim. Just like shlamim is consumed for 2 days and one night, so too bechar is consumed for 2 days and one night. Beautiful. That's Rabbi Tarfon. So Rabbi Yossi Haglili is not going to let go. And he says as follows. Amar lo Rabbi. I will say, by the way, what's very beautiful about this is, what do you see about this exchange? What do you see about it? It's very deferential and respectful. Right? If you notice again, when Rabbi Yossi Haglili poses his question, he says, Rabbi. And if you notice again, when Rabbi Tarfon initially responds, he says, bini. Rabbi say, this is dialoguing with dignity. This is disagreeing with dignity. And again, Rabbi say, one could imagine that in the midst of the yeshiva, remember again also, this is Rabbi Yosef Levi's first day in yeshiva. Generally, first day in yeshiva, what do you do? What do you do? Nothing, right? Right? Just blend in. Just blend in. But again, but the beauty of this is that when you dialogue with dignity and when you disagree with dignity, it's okay. It's beautiful. Because remember, what is everyone striving for? We'll say the goal over here is not to see who's right. The goal over here ultimately is to go ahead and arrive at the MS. And when everyone is devoted to MS, when everyone is devoted to figuring out what is the ultimate good, disagreement is not only okay, but it's beautifully welcome as well. It's just such a model that so often escapes us. So the Gemara says, Amrlo. So therefore again, Rabbi Yosef Halevi is not letting go. Amrlo, Rabbi, Nidon Davar Mi Davar, Yilmod Davar Mi Davar. So Rabbi Yosef Halevi says to Rabbi Tarfon, and he says, Rabbi, I agree with you, but I think we could extrapolate from a different source. Watch this. Chatas va'asha matana l'kohen, u'bechar matana l'kohen. Again, I'm still going to stick to my guns over here, and I still feel that the comparison from Bechar to Chatas and Asham is still a better comparison than from Bechar to Shlomim. Why? Just like Chatas and Asham are a matana, are a gift to the Kohen. What does that mean? In that the Kohen gets to eat from those Karbanos, U'Bechar matana l'Kohen. And Bechar is also a gift given to the Kohen. Therefore, Machatas va'asham ein ba'in b'neder u'nedava. And I say, listen to this. Just like Chatas Hashem will say, you can't bring Chatas or Asham as a neder and a dava. Right? There's no such thing as a voluntary sin offering, which makes sense. Sin offerings are triggered by sinful behavior. You can't bring a voluntary sin offering. So to af bechar eino b'neder u'nedava. Interestingly enough, Bechar also, you can't bring, again, Bechar both say is a function of a firstborn animal. You can't bring a voluntary Bechar. Therefore, so you see what Rabbi Yosef Halevi is doing? He's strengthening, he feels, I really feel that Bechar is much more comparable to Chatas and Asham than it is just the Stam Shlomim. And therefore, Machatas va'asham ne'achalim liyom v'alay liyom echad, just like Chatas and Asham are consumed for one day and one night, Af Bechar Ne'achal Liyom Echad. So to Bechar is also going to be consumed for one night. So therefore, both sides, they're pretty much deadlocked. Right? Again, both advancing very compelling arguments. Rabbi Tarfon's argument, comparing Bechar to Shlomim, just like Shlomim gets 2 days and one night, so to Bechar gets 2 days and one night. And Rabbi Yosef Halevi comparing Bechar to Chatas and Asham. Just like Chatas and Asham get 1 day and one night, so too Bechar should get 1 day and one night. So they both say, they're deadlocked. They're deadlocked. This is great. Who jumps in? Kafatz. Literally again, jump. Both say, it's great. Kafatz Rabbi Akiva. Kafatz Rabbi Akiva, Finistalik Rabbi Tarfon. It's actually, it's what happens. It's almost as if like Rabbi Akiva came in and like he tagged out Rabbi Tarfon, you know, like he's like Kafas Rabbi Akiva Vinistalik Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Tarfon left. He left, which is also just very, very an interesting lashon, which is essentially Rabbi Tarfon put forward his arguments like this. You know, both say there's something very beautiful here. Sometimes, you know, when we get into a debate or a discussion. So there's a tremendous Yetzirah. What's the Yetzirah? The Yetzirah is sometimes the most important thing to us becomes what? Being right. So sometimes if your goal is to be right, it's fascinating. What happens when people want to be, when the goal is just to be right, what occurs? You just make stuff up. Right? It's my simbachalion. People just, they make stuff up, they twist information. There's a real, I think that's what nostalgic means. Rabbi Tarfon advanced his arguments. This is what I have. This is what I got. Right? This is the information I have. I got it. Rabbi Yosef Halevi, the new guy, is putting forward some good information. I have nothing new to offer on this. Right? My entire argument is based on the construct that Bechar resembles Shlomim. That's it. Okay. And I hear what Rabbi Yosef Halevi is saying. Rabbi Yosef Halevi is saying, but I can make a cogent argument to say that Bechar really resembles Chatas and Asham. Rabbi Tarfon says, I put forward my argument, I have nothing more to say. And I'm not going to make stuff up or invent stuff just to be right. Nostalgic Rabbi Tarfon. We'll say, it's godless. This is what a machlokes lishma looks like, right? There's no name calling, right? There's no aggression, there's no nastiness. It's literally just, it's a discussion for the sake of arriving at MS. And once you have nothing more to say, nistar like, who jumps in? Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo, harehu omer, ubisaram yelecha. So the pasuk says, the flesh shall be for you. Hikishan hakasav. So we'll say this, by the way, Rabbi Akiva now advances the argument that we actually started the sugi with. So Rabbi Akiva says, one second, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, you're wrong. The pasuk says, b'sarim yelecha. Hikishan hakasav lechazev v'shok shoshlamim. The Torah equates b'char with the chest and the thigh of shlamim. Ma shlamim ne'echalim l'shneyam v'layla echad. So essentially what Rabbi Akiva comes along and says and brings a pasuk. He says the pasuk itself equates Bechar with the Chazei V'Shok, with the chest and the thigh of Shlomim. Chest that Shlomim could be consumed for 2 days and one night, so too Bechar could be consumed for 2 days and one night. So again, Rabbi Yossi Lili is not backing down. Rabbi Yossi Lili says, Rabbi Akiva, I hear you are equating Bechar to the chest and the thigh of Shlomim. Vani makish, vani makisho, lechazei v'shok shal toda. Wow. So I'll say, Rabbi Yossi Lili, new guy's really making a lot of waves first day. So I'll say, so what happens? So Rabbi Yossi Lili says, listen, if you want to compare it to chazei v'shok, to the chest and the thigh, and you're comparing it to the chest and the thigh of Shlomim, I could compare it to the chest and the thigh of carbon toda. Then they'll say, Ma toda ne'echalas liyom v'layla. So carbon toda, interestingly enough, as big of a carbon as it is, could only be consumed for 1 day and the following night. Af b'char ne'echal liyom v'layla. So to b'char could only be consumed for 1 day and one night. Amar lo, to which Rabbi Akiva responds, Harehu omer ubsara mielecha. Shein tamal omer lecha. Paz doesn't have to say lecha. Lecha yiyye. Uma tamal omer lecha yiyye. Hosif hakosof havia achas bebechar. The Torah, so there's an extra phrase of lecha yiyeh, it shall be for you. Rabbi Akiva essentially says, there's an extra for you. What's the extra for you? So both say, here's what's interesting. Everyone is agreeing that for sure, what's the minimum duration you can eat a bechar? What's the minimum duration? 1 day, one night, right? Everyone is agreeing with that. Rabbi Akiva posits the extra lecha yiyeh means it will be yours for an extra period. What's the extra period? An additional day. Now, that's not Rabbi Akiva's primary argument, right? His primary argument is really as was espoused before. But Halachmai says, even according to you, Rabbi Yosef Lili, you have to admit that there is an extra lecha yihiyah. What is the extra lecha yihiyah? Adds on one additional period of consumption, i.e. an extra day, which makes it 2 days and one night. So Mar says, Shnemru Dvarim Lifnei Rabbi Yishmael. And when they said, so Mar says, so fascinating machlok is the team, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon on one side, and Rabbi Yosef Lili on the other side. Okay, Shnemru Dvarim Lifnei Rabbi Yishmael. So let's listen to this, it's incredible. When they came before Rabbi Yishmael, they told this whole thing over before Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Shmuel said to them, "Tzuva amrulei Rabbi Akiva, ta'isa." That's incredible. So Rabbi Shmuel says, "Go back and tell Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, you made a mistake. What's the mistake? Toda mehechen landa. Where is Toda learned out from? Mishlamim. This is very interesting. Toda is learned out from Shlamim. And they both say, now remember again, Davar halami behekish." We had this, right? So since Toda is learned out from Shlomim, it's learned out by Hekish. Something learned out from a Hekish can then, what Rabbi Yossi, not go ahead and be utilized as the source of a Hekish to something else. We spent a lot of time on this concept. Ha'in alecha lidon b'lashon acher, ella b'lashon rishon. Therefore, again, there's no reason for you to go past anything that we said before, Rabbi Yossi. Again, halacha l'maaseh, Rabbi Yishmael essentially said, let's go back to the original Limud. What was the original limud? The pasuk says, "Ubsaram yelecha kechazei atinufa keshok atruma." The pasuk ultimately, again, keshok hayamin. Sorry, the pasuk ultimately equates bechar to the chazei and shok, to the chest and the thigh of shlamim. Just like shlamim is consumed for 2 days and one night, so too bechar is consumed for 2 days and one night. So Yishmael says the real limud is the way we started. Ultimately, again, there's a comparison between. There's a hekish between Bechar and Shlamim, and therefore just like Shlamim is consumed for 2 days and one night, so too Bechar is consumed for 2 days and one night. So we'll say, so again, so just before we go on, because the Gemara is going to launch a little bit of a tangent over here, that is the halacha. That is the halacha. So as much as we have this raging machlokes between Rabbi Yosei Lili and Rabbi Tarfon Rabbi Akiva, halacha l'maisa, the window of consumption for a Bechar is learned out from Shlamim, just like Shlamim is 2 days and one night, Bechar is 2 days and one night as well. Bottom line. Good. Rabbi Shmuel, Hay Lecha Yemai Avidle. So what does Rabbi Shmuel do with that Lecha Yiyah that we darshan before? So the Marzal, Limira Bechar, Balmum Shumatana Lekoin. Ultimately, that Lecha Yiyah tells us that even a blemished Bechar that is not offered up on the Mizbeach becomes the property of the Kohen. Shalom atzinu b'chal ha-Torah kula, b'chal ha-Torah, because this concept is not taught anywhere else in the Torah. Rabbi Akiva, where does Rabbi Akiva, so we'll say, by the way, I just want to point out why this is interesting. You might have thought, well, let's finish this up. Rabbi Akiva, yalef le mibsaram. Rabbi Akiva ultimately learns this from b'saram, chad tam v'chad balum, to teach me that whether the Bechar is blemished or whether it's unblemished, so obviously if it's unblemished, it's going to be offered up as a korban. If it's blemished, it just is given to the Kohen. Rabbi Shmuel, Mibsaram Dehanach Bechoros Kamar. So ultimately, Rabbi Shmuel ultimately says, from Mibsaram, from these Bechoros, it is being said. But my Kamiflegi, what are they arguing about? So we'll say, I just want to point out something very interesting. This is where Bechar is somewhat unique. Because remember again, Bechar is Kadshim Kalim. But there's a unique aspect of Bechar, which is, in the event that the Bechar is blemished, the Kohen still gets it. Right? You would have thought that because it is in the Karbanic family, if it's offered up as a Karban, the Kohen gets to consume part of it. But if it's not offered up as a Karban, the Kohen doesn't get it. Kamash Malon, if it's blemished and can't be offered up as a Karban, ultimately, again, the Kohen will still get it. Interesting. The Gemara says as follows. Again, that we're going to see these pieces a little bit more. So, Michael Miffy, what are they arguing about? Samar Savar, Heman of Adar, Achar, Have Hekesh. So, we'll say, so now it turns out that there's a bit of an exegetical machlokis over here. What's the exegetical machlokis? So, we'll say, if you have something that is partially learned out from a Hekesh and partially learned out from a Pasuk, does that exegetically have the status of a Hekesh or not? And we'll say, you'll say to yourself, who cares? Now, why does it matter, Rabbi Osai? Because remember, again, going back to this idea that something that is learned out from a Hekesh cannot serve as the source of a Hekesh. So remember, we had this before. If B is learned out from A by means of a Hekesh, then B cannot serve as the Hekesh for C. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, the Shiloh over here is, if you have something that is partially learned out from a Hekesh and partially learned out from a Pasuk, as what's been happening over here, like we just saw by Bechar, can that serve? Does that have the status of a Hekesh or not? So the Gemara's Marsavar, Heman of Adavar Acher, have a Hekesh. One says, yes, something that's partially learned out from a Pasuk and partially learned out from a Hekesh is called the Hekesh. Or Marsavar lo have a Hekesh. And one says, no, it's not called the Hekesh. So let's go back there. Bishvon Laman Damar lo have a Hekesh. So according to the opinion that says, that's not called the Hekesh. Hainu dechsiv v'chein yaseli o amoed. Ultimately, that's how the pasuk says, so shall you do in the Olamoid, Kishim Shemaza, Lifnai V'Lifnim, Achas Lamala V'Shev L'Mata. So the Bible said, this is by the Karbanos of Yom Kippur. Let's say the power of Sar of Yom Kippur. The same way in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you do one blood application above and seven below, from the blood of the par, Kach, Maza V'Heichal. Same thing with the blood applications that you do in the base of Mikdash itself in the Heichal, outside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, towards the curtain. And the same way in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, you do one blood application above, seven below, midam hasoyer, from the blood of the soyer, kach maze behechal, so to you do in the hechal as well. Eleman the amar habe hekish, but according to the being that says that such a limud is called the hekish, ma'ika lemira, what is they to say? To which the Gemara says, you're right, mekomos hu digamri mehadadi. They're not learning out per se all of the details of the blood applications, rather, they're just ultimately again learning out. The second hekish ultimately is just a locational hekish and not a detail hekish. We'll say, I'm a base. V-Bice, and the other possibility is, Chutz Mifnim Bechad Zimna Gamir. Or one possibility is it's all one Hekesh, and ultimately, again, the halacha is that the blood applications on the outside, outside over here means in the Mikdash itself, are being learned out from the blood applications inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So quickly, we'll say, Bishlom Laman Da'amar Havei Hekesh, according to the opinion, we'll say, so again, right now the Gemara just did a significant exegetical detour. I mean, who doesn't love exegetical detours, right? But that's the mindset what's happening. So all we're just asking over here, just getting caught up in a bit of a technicality, which is if you have something that is learned out from a combined limud, partially pasuk, partially hekesh, does that limud have the status of a hekesh or not? The nafkamino will be, can you then use that to learn another hekesh? So we're just looking to Yom Kippur for that. So the Gemara says, Bishtal Naman Damar Havei Hekesh, according to the second Bosei, 57b, second line, Bishtal Naman Damar Havei Hekesh, Hainu Dichsev Mimosh Voseichem, Tabiu Lechem Tnufa. Suppose according to the opinion that says something partially learned from the pasuk, partially learned from the hakish, has the status of a hakish. That's why it says, now what is that talking about? If you look at Rashi, I will say, Rashi's in the short lines, like punt in the middle of the short lines. First word on the, so we'll say this is talking about, again, the offering, the karbanos, ultimately, again, of Shavuos. Siv, v'tzrachnu ma'asachas menachos, l'mol mehem, kama esronos yesh balach meitoda, u'bagufa nichtav yud chalos. So we'll say, listen to this, by the loaves of Shavuos, ultimately, again, by the lach meitoda, it says, ultimately, again, 10 chalos. Remember, again, you bring 40 loaves by toda, four different categories of loaves, 10 of each type. Here's what's very interesting. Ultimately, again, by the shtealech and by the two loaves of Shavuos, so the Torah tells me, ultimately, again, it's one isaron per loaf. So the Torah tells me how many loaves and how much each loaf is. Interestingly enough, by toda, the Torah tells me the number of loaves, 40 loaves, 10 loaves from each different type, but what? Doesn't tell me how much flour in each loaf. In each loaf, okay? So just hold on to that for just a second, Gemara says. So now back to the Gemara for just a second. B'moshe oseichem taviu lechem tenufa. Shein tam lomer taviu. Why does the Torah have to say taviu? Why to say taviu? So we'll say, so remember again, this is, right, so why taviu? Matam taviu, kol sha'ata mevi, mimakom lamakom echad at, kol sha'ata mevi, mimakom acher, harehu kazeh. So we'll say, to teach us that whenever you bring loaves, they are like this one. What's this one? It's the shtei halachem by Shavuos. Shtei halachem by Shavuos. Ultimately, again, two loaves and isaron each. Whenever you bring loaves, loaves are always one isaron each. So therefore, Bo say, what does this teach me? Ma lahalon isaron lachala. Just like by Shavuos, it's one isaron per loaf. Afkan, so to by toda isaron lachala. Each loaf is going to be one isaron. Imal halon shnei esronim. Now, Bosan, interestingly enough, by Shavuos, that gives you a total of what? Two esronim. Why? Because remember, by Shavuos, what do you have? Shtei alechem. You have two loaves for a total of two esronim. Afkan shnei esronim. So I say like this. Maybe what we learn out by Shavuos or Losai, maybe by Shavuos we learn out not that it's one isaron per loaf. But maybe by Shavuos, what do I learn? That Allah Halamaisa, it's a total of two esronim. Maybe that's what it's saying. And just like Allah Halamaisa by Shavuos is a total of two esronim, so too by Toda, it's a total of two esronim. What would that mean? By Toda, what would that mean? That would mean 40 loaves comprised of a total of two esronim. Very, very small loaves. Talmud Lomar, Tihiyena. Ultimately, again, the pasuk says, "Tiena, no, they shall be." V'lamadnu, asar l'chametz, asar l'matzvinai. So therefore, Rabbi say, "Tiena teaches me that." Listen to this: from the shtei alechem of Shavuos, Rabbi say, we learn that whenever you bring a loaf, ultimately, again, a loaf is always a minimum of one isaron. And then we take that model and ultimately, again, we apply it to Toda and say that Toda is 40 loaves. How much ultimately, again, for each loaf? One isaron per loaf of the Toda. Tiana, incredible. Well, Magnu, Asar l'chametz, Asar l'matzvinayna. And how do I know, ultimately, again, that there are 10 loaves of chametz, 10 loaves of matzah? Talmud Lomar, al chalos lechem chametz. Neged chametz, havei matzah. So whatever number of chametz loaves you're going to bring the same number of matzah loaves. So in other words, I have four categories of loaves, and each of those loaves have the same number. Elamam da Amar, lo have a hekish maigel nimar. But according to the opinion that says that it's not a hekish, if it says something partially learned ultimately again from a pasuk, if something is partially learned from a hekish, partially learned ultimately again from a pasuk, it's not called a hekish. So what is there to say? Taviu yiserahi, there's an extra taviu. So you get Rabbi say, so fine, extra lekamachlokis, but an interesting nugget of information, Rabbi say, that again, by Shavuos, you have two loaves that are brought, those are called the shtei alechem. By Karban Toda, 40 loaves. In those 40 loaves, ultimately, again, are 10 loaves of four different types. Shnei Halachim teaches me that whenever you bring a loaf, the amount of flour used in the loaf is an isaron, and that becomes a paradigm. Whenever you bring loaves, loaves are made up of an isaron. Incredible. Rabbi say, final piece to the parak. HaPesach Nor Ne'achal. Rabbi say, if you remember again, what did the Mishnah say? Interestingly enough, as much as Karban Pesach is part of Kachim Kalim, and as much as Kachim Kalim, normally, again, what's their window for consumption? Normally, 2 days. And one night, because remember again, Rabbi say, if you think about it, in that category, you had Bechar, Meiser, and Pesach. So remember again, Bechar, Meiser, that is 2 days and one night. I might have thought Pesach is the same. Kamashal, the Mishnah says, no, Pesach can only be consumed when? When? Now, interesting enough, Pesach is the carbon that has the shortest window of consumption. Because remember again, what's the window of consumption for carbon Pesach? Essentially, Tzeisach Kochavim until Chatzos. It's not even the whole night, right? You don't even have until the next morning. You only have until midnight. Shortest window of consumption by a carbon. So the Gemara says as follows. Mantana, who is the opinion that says that you can only eat Karban Pesach until Chatzos, until midnight? I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. It's Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. What does he say? Disanya, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer, Ne'emar kan balayla hazeh. It says by Karban Pesach that you shall eat Karban Pesach balayla hazeh, on this night. And it says by Makas Bechoros, death of the firstborn, the 10th plague, I will pass through Egypt on this night. Just like Makas Bechoros was at night, was at midnight. So do you can eat Karban Pesach until midnight. And by the way, the Marashah points out, it's not a good comparison. Why? Because ultimately, again, Abbas said, Makas Bechoros, yeah, it's midnight. What happened at midnight? What happened at midnight? The Makas started at midnight. Yet we're comparing Karban Pesach to Makas Bechoros to say, just like Makas Bechoros started at midnight, what do we say about Karban Pesach? What do we say about Karban Pesach? You have to conclude about midnight. Okay, so it's a detail. Right, but Lamaisa, point over here is we're comparing Karban Pesach to Makas Bechoros. Just like Makas Bechoros is at midnight, so too Karban Pesach must conclude by midnight. That is the position ultimately, again, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. I'm Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says, 1 second, but that's not true. V'alokvar ne'emar v'achaltem osa b'chipazon. The pasuk says, by Karban Pesach, you have to eat it with haste. Right? Chipazon means with haste. I'm going to both say, interestingly enough, this is one of the interesting differences. The Rosh in Maseches Pesachim brings down 10 differences between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doros. The Pesach they observed in Egypt and the Pesach for future generations. One of the interesting distinctions was Pesach and Mitzrayim, they had to eat their Karban Pesach with their, right, Masnechem Chagurim, which literally means they had to eat Karban Pesach with their loins girded. My favorite biblical phrase that no one knows what it means. Right, but whatever it is, it sounds chashiv. Right, they had to have their loins girded. It also sounds very uncomfortable. Right, but lamaisa, right, whatever it is, which also means they had to wear their shoes. They had to have their. What it means is they had to be ready to travel. They had to wear their belt. They had to be ready. So again, so Rabbi Kiva says that ultimately, again, v'achaltem also b'chipazon. You have to eat Karban Pesach with haste. Now, what does that mean? Rabbi Kiva darshins ad shas chipazon, until the time of haste. They both say, what was the time of haste? Until the morning. Because remember again, when did we leave Mitzrayim? We left Mitzrayim in the morning, right? We didn't leave at night. We left in the morning. So Rabbi Kiva says, Rabbi Kiva actually paskins that you're allowed to eat Karban Pesach until when? Until dawn. Shas Chipazon. Rashi says over here, it's about six or seven lines off from the end of Rashi. Shas Chipazon. Shem nispazim, shem nechpazim lalechas, v'hayinu la'ar boker, kidichsiv, v'atem lo'seitzu ishmi Pesach beiso ad boker. So Rabbi Kiva says again, we're allowed to eat Karban Pesach until the time that we left, right? And that, when did we leave? We left in the morning. If that's the case, then why does the pasuk say that you should eat the Karban Pesach at night? The Gemara says, because we'll say, I'll tell you why balayla. Balayla teaches me something different. You might have thought that since Karban Pesach is part of the construct of Kachim Kalim, again, we'll say in general, Karbanos 101, if you shech the carbon, when are you allowed to eat that carbon? When are you allowed to eat the carbon? That day. That's the way it works with every single other carbon. If you shecht it during the day, which is when you're only allowed to shech carbonos, you can eat it that day. I might have thought Karban Pesach is the same thing. Tamalomar, balaylo. Therefore, the pasuk says, "Balayla, balayli einecha leinon echalayom." You can only eat it by day. Sorry, by at night, and you cannot eat it by day. So we'll say it's a very peculiar aspect of Karban Pesach. So Rabbi Akiva says, "Balayla teaches me that halacha lemaisa, you can only begin to eat that karban at night. You're not allowed to eat it by day." Rabbi Akiva says, "But you are allowed to continue to eat it until dawn." So fundamental focus. Amar Rabbi Abaye. Maybe they're not arguing. Maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah agrees with Rabbi Akiva that really halacha lemaisa, you can go ahead and eat Karban Pesach until when? Until when? Until the next morning. Aye, so why does Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah say until chatzos? Why? Laharchik adam min avera. First Mishnah and Maseches Brachas. Right? That sometimes, even though you're allowed to do something until the morning, Chazal said, only do it until midnight to give you a buffer. People always push the envelope on everything. We're always running late. We're always bumping up against the time. So therefore, even though you have until dawn, just tell people until midnight. So maybe they're really agreeing. And midrash, you can eat until morning. But midrabanan, we tell you to stop by midnight. In Cain, my ela ad chatzos. That's not the lashon of the Mishnah. The lashon of the Mishnah, I will say, if you look at it, is va'pesach inonecha, ela balayla, inonecha, ela ad chatzos. Ela ad is a strong lashon. Which means, no, you must conclude your karbanic consumption by chatzos, which indicates to us that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is talking on a da'araisa level. Kiyasa mahasam da'araisa, afkan mid'araisa. Sefer Abogen Avos, the Gemara says that the lashon of ela ad chatzos, lashon of da'araisa. Sefer Abogen, it turns out, this is so riveting. Turns out that halacha lemaisa is a fundamental machlokes mid'araisa between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah about the window of consumption for Karban Pesach. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah literally says up until Chatzos, and Rabbi Akiva says until the next morning. You both say, how do we paskin? So Rama paskins in Hilchos Karban Pesach Parakhes Halacha Tes Zayin that Halacha Lemaisa Rabbi Mekamos Shein HaPesach Nacha Ela Ad Chatzos Kedei LaHarchik Min HaAvira V'Din Torah Sheyochol Kalalayla Ad Shial Mudashav. Rama paskins like Rabbi Akiva that Meikra Din. You are allowed to eat Karban Pesach until dawn. But halacha lemaisa, we say finish it by chatzos. Why? Laharchik adam min ha'avir. In order to go and keep a person from violating, we tell you to finish up ultimately again by chatzos, by midnight, in order not to chas v'shalom transgress. So Mosai, hadron halacha izum, come on. Mazel tov, shkayach, everyone. All right, have a great day. Zevi, I like this sukkah better. Tomorrow night. Tomorrow back in the sukkah. Good morning. Good.